So, Ed, you have our attention.
My name's Ed, and I'm an alcoholic. I was thinking about why I put these two steps together. And, I wasn't able to take a personal inventory or anything in age and take a look at myself without, until I got a higher power in my life. And to do that on a daily basis, all day long, I needed to build a relationship with my higher power. So I think the two steps go quite well together in my personal recovery. 10, if I do take a personal inventory and look at my life all day long instead of just at night, I'm able to make quicker amends as I'm going through my day. If I screw up and I offend somebody, or I do somebody wrong, or I lie to somebody, or whatever the case may be, I'm able to make amends a lot quicker because I'm speaking with my higher power all day long. It's not just a good morning and a good night. You know, I used to do that and it wasn't working. And that's one of the really big things my sponsor today has taught me. God's here all day long. You might as well talk to him. So I want to talk a little bit about part A of my recovery, like I do every week. Part A of my recovery in this area sucked. I was afraid to make amends, when something that just happened. I'd avoid things at work. Probably lied about some stuff over the years. So I wouldn't have to make amends because I was going to be embarrassed, what people thought of me. I still care what people think of me, but I care more what I think of myself and what image I'm putting out there for the way I'm living my life today. And I'm not perfect at it. That being said, like I said, I talk to my higher power all day long. So I usually still do a nighttime inventory or in the morning when I do my prayer and meditation. So if I keep God in the conversation, like I say, all day long, it keeps my pointer pointed north, I guess you want to say, where I'm supposed to be headed and what I'm supposed to be doing. So when I do stray off track, that needle gets off north. You know how a needle shakes when it gets off north, it'll vibrate. I don't feel good about myself. And I don't feel good that I've lied or cheated or stole or avoided the truth, or I don't feel good about myself. So I need to make amends and get back on track again, because I don't like the way I feel when I don't do things the way I'm supposed to do them. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God. That's what has made my life better. But I wasn't capable of doing that until I consciously and participated in working in the steps up to this point. And it's been something that I have developed, and it's something I've watched other people do. I don't like the word meditation. I never have, because I always looked at it was so complicated, or there was millions of different ways to do it. I try to keep it simple. And all it is spending some quiet time with my higher power. That's all it is. Prayer is me talking to God. And meditation is me listening and being quiet and still in the moment. And I'm getting better at it over there. Some days I can do 5 minutes. Other days I can do 15 or 20. Some days it's half hour, 45 minutes, intermittent, whatever. But it's gotten better over the years. And it's helped me to stay focused and on track of being peaceful. I don't know about you, but when I got here, I knew there was a God. I believed in a God, but I had no relationship with a God, not a higher power. So what we do as human beings, when you want to get close with somebody to become have a relationship with somebody or a friendship with somebody, you spend time with that person. So I've applied this to my relationship with my higher power. The more time I spend with my higher power, the closer I get to my higher power, and the less problems I have running my own life, which I don't like to do. I try to give it to God or give it to my wife, maybe. That's even easier. So the closer I am to my higher power means the more time I need to spend with my higher power. And when my sponsor, Jim, suggested to, you know, he talks to God all day long. I said, well, that's pretty good. I like that idea. And it took a little while to get used to that. You know, there had been moments where I wasn't very happy with God, and I told him so. He already knew it, but I verbalized it. That's okay. You know, most people think of God as a loving father image, and I do that and to some extent. But the biggest thing on all the steps, but specifically we're talking about 10 and 11, the biggest word in that whole thing, it starts the first word of step 10 is continue. We need to continue. I need to continue to do this. I need to continue to apply it. There are all the steps, but I need to continue to apply 10 and 11 to my life. And for my personal program, everything I've done up until this point, working the steps, has got me to a good relationship with my higher power. So if I continue to do that, hopefully it'll get better. And by no means am I an expert at this. By no means am I perfect at it at all times. But I have a routine. I have a peace because of that routine now. And that routine can get shaken up sometimes. The other day, I was hungry. I was tired. And my wife asked me to make supper. And I threw a little temper tantrum like a little baby and ended up breaking a baking dish. And when that happened, I didn't feel very good about myself. But if I followed the process like I did, it didn't last very long, and I was back on track. It was a very bad feeling. Because it was an old feeling coming back. And at that moment, because I was hungry and I was tired, part of that halt, I reverted back to an angry child again, like I was 35 years ago when I got here. So it's how quickly I can get off base. So that word continue comes up again. I need to continue to practice these principles in all my affairs. So, yeah. Yeah, guess what? It's time for question and answer period, kids. That's all I got now until you ask me some questions.
All right. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks,
Ed. Let's open this up for some questions. If you have a question you want to ask, just go ahead and unmute yourself.
I'm Jim, alcoholic.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, thanks, Ed. Hey, Ed, that situation that just happened the other day where you lost your temper and broke the dish, can you elaborate a little bit, and how did you correct it?
I don't want to elaborate, but I will.
how did you correct it? I don't really care, like,
well, you know,
did you smash it? I don't care about that. But how'd you correct it?
Part of it, I had to clean the mess up, and my wife did help. But I apologized to my wife right away, and I said a prayer inside myself. And did it go away real quick compared to the old days? Yeah. But it didn't go away, like, instantaneously. And I was able to look at what happened, too. And then know that, okay, I was hungry and I was tired, which then I became quickly angry, and I retaliated like a child throwing a temper tantrum. But the things that I've learned in these rooms over the years and what I practiced as a spiritual program, I didn't have to continue on that with that. I didn't have to live in that moment. So I apologized to my wife. And in a short amount of time, things were back to normal with us, which is pretty damn good most of the time. So But it's a practice. You got to practice it. You got to continue to do all this stuff. It just doesn't, you know, happen. Part of building a relationship. So did I answer your question, Jim?
Hi, Ed, Jack Alcoholic. Thanks for speaking tonight. I guess my question relates to working with somebody else, and what sorts of things do you ask the guys that you're working with to do on their 10 step? I know some people, for example, journal, which is something I do, and our literature talks about different kinds of inventories or frequency, you know, like you and Jim B talk about all throughout the day or at the end of the day, or some people do it, you know, more periodically. And then our literature, I think, talks about even, retreats or going away and annual sorts of review. I just wonder what your thoughts are and practices on step 10.
Well, you know, what I pass along is not much different from what I said tonight. I can suggest certain things that they put in their routine. A lot of people do the good morning and they do it good night at night and they do an inventory at night. A lot of people are good with that. I'm not. And I talk to them about different ways to do continue to take a personal inventory. It's not just my way. It's what I've learned from other people. And that's what we have to do. Every one of us has to adapt things that we hear and learn in Alcoholics Anonymous to our own personal program. And that's what I've done over the years. I can't tell somebody, you have to do it my way. I lay some parameters out, what I think is important, and they got to develop their own. And I talk to them about it occasionally, you know, how you doing on that or, you know, whatever. And I got two active sponsees or pigeons right now. And they're where they're supposed to be at. Let's put it that way. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing and developing their own personal program with a little guidance from a long way from me, I guess, because they call and talk to me. So like I said before, I only can impart what I know and share what I have. They got to engage and do their own, a lot of it. So it just takes time. So did I answer your question, Jack?
Yeah, thanks, Ed.
Thanks, Jack.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie Alcoholic. And I have a question that is more towards step 11.
Okay.
And I thought I heard you mention about step 11 in prayer and meditation that you have your, quote, routine. And I was wondering what exactly that consisted of.
Well, my prayer and meditation time, I've taken advantage of a bad situation. I got disabled a few years ago, so I have time in the morning. I don't really have a set routine for the most part. And I do get up fairly early. And I read the daily reflections. And I say a couple little prayers. And I sit in quiet time with my higher power and kind of ask his guidance for the day that unfolds in front of me. Nothing too complicated. It's more the quiet time I spend with my God. And it's an intent. It's a purposeful intent that I need to take a break and shut things off and let my higher power in. It's taken a lot of years and still not is where the best I want to be at it, but it's so much better than it used to be. And I suppose that's because I've engaged in a recovery program and it's a little more peaceful in between the years. But it takes time and practice to develop all that. That's the word continue again. So did I answer your question, Leslie?
You did, but it made me think of one more question.
Okay.
And as you know, over the time that you have been in recovery, have you taken advantage of any retreats, anything like that, that kind of helped you build the practice that you do today?
Well, you know what's funny about that? I'm part A in my recovery. I never went to any AA retreats for 20 years. And except for the COVID, I've been going the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, once a year. It's a break from a routine. And I had gone on some spiritual retreats before, not AA, and it did nothing really fit. Mm-hmm. And it's more, they're spiritual retreats, but they're not rigid. And I do like that too. But it's like everything else in Alcoholics Anonymous. What do you want to get out of it? What is your intent? How deep do you want to go in this? Do you want to just put the plug in the jug? Or do you want to live a happy, serene life? I mean, it's all in what you put into it, you know. And I hopefully my life has shown in the last 15 years or so, my life has changed and I can feel it on my face and in my soul that I'm doing something different than I used to. So it's all in the intent. So.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Leslie.
Hello, Ed. Bruce, alcoholic.
Hey, Bruce.
Thanks for the good job you've done so far. I like what you had to say about trying to figure out meditation. It's I couldn't wrap my head around that in the beginning either until I just do kind of like what you do. My question is about the 11th step, the 11th step prayer. Do you use that on a regular basis?
To be honest with you, I'm not good at that stuff. I probably know the prayer, but I can't rattle it off the top of my head. So probably no.
Well, that's why I keep a little card of it. I use it all the time. Myself.
I think prayers are great and there's nothing wrong with that. I have had to dumb down my personal program. I don't do any of that stuff as a rigid basis. It's just kind of basically God help me in and I shut up and I try to listen. I got to keep it as simple as I can. I'm not an educated man and I'm not stupid, but I'm not an educated, well-read man in a lot of ways. And I've applied this program for me and I love the way it's working out for me. Will I do different in the future? Probably, because I'm always trying to grow and change. But right now I don't do any rigid prayers that I read or from memorization. I really don't. So.
Well, I don't memorize them either because it makes me read them. It makes me read them. I read that 3 or 4 times very slowly. And to me, it's a meditation tool.
That's good. If that works for you, fantastic. Everybody's got to find out what works for them. That's putting your own little twist on your own personal program because we're not robots.
Right. No. All right. Thank you.
Who's next?
Hi, everybody. My name is Kevin. I'm an alcoholic. Ed, thank you very much for agreeing to do this, and thanks for agreeing to come here next week and be part of our noble experiment. One of the questions that I have for you is regards you divide your program into two different parts, which I found very interesting and very rewarding. How... In like when you refer to the first part of your program, I would understand, how did you challenge yourself? And then what was that switch that flipped for you when you were, hi, I'm Ed, I'm an alcoholic, and there. So there. And when did you become Ed the alcoholic? Thank you.
I had a very dark period in my life. And I'm not going to say the first 10 years of my recovery were terrible. They were a lot better than they were when I was drinking. And I had a little bit of happiness in my life, but I wasn't doing any work on it. Now, after 10 years, wow, things started to turn south. And probably because I didn't have a personal program. And it got really dark inside of me. And it was an angry man again. And along about, 15 years sober, I had a heart attack. Talk about that. All due to stress. Okay. I make you sit up and take notice. And probably a year or so before I asked Jim to be my sponsor, 18 years-ish in the program, everything got so bad I wanted to put a bullet in my head. And that was kind of my aha moment, that this ain't what it's supposed to be. It's not. I was probably the bottom I should have been at when I first got here, to be honest with you. And I don't ever want to go to that darkness again. And when I talk about a relationship with my higher power, it makes me tear up because I know the difference today. The difference between dark and light. It's as simple as that. But it didn't happen overnight. And it took some prodding on my sponsor's end, and it took a little effort on my end. It still does. Because that little thing I had happened a few days ago when I broke that dish, it was a good reminder that how surface sometimes it all is. And if I'm not continuously diligent on my spiritual development and continue to grow and change and want to change, how quick that erodes. I've always known that I don't dare step too close to the emotional cliff. My dad and I used to joke about it's a higher blind rage temper. And when that happens, it's not good. So I need to be spiritually centered. And that started to happen 18 years sober, dry, whatever. And it's blossomed from there, thank God. I got a great life today. And it's all because I keep God in the conversation every day, all day. Did I answer your question, Kevin?
Mostly.
Mostly. Well, you hurt me, you know. That's okay.
So, no, let me follow up with that. So, okay, so, you know, we've got both dynamics of how that is. And
right.
You're basically a dry drunk for a number of years, and then it kind of switched over, and you kind of bought into the program, like Bill Wilson would say, you know, I've got to sell these guys this stuff. And so today, the how do you challenge yourself to make your program better, make your relationship with God a little closer? How do you get closer to Jan and be of service to your relationship with your wife and your the fellows in our program, our fellowship, and your community, and just the dynamic part of these steps, not just the literal part of it?
Well, that's kind of partially talking about step 12.
Okay. Up to step 11. I mean, to get to step 12, you have to do that. But
yeah. You know,
how do you challenge yourself to, improve your first 11 steps?
Well, to me, it's all about my daily walk. It's okay. All my interaction with other people. For instance, I worked in the grocery industry in a past life years ago, for a long time. And cashiers notoriously get treated like crap. Okay. It's my goal every time I get into a cashier's line, no matter how I'm treated by that person, is to make them at least smile and hopefully laugh by the time I leave there. That's part of my mission in my life. Huh. And it's my obligation to engage in relationships, even if it's on a momentary basis, and leave them a little bit happier, a little bit more peaceful. I'm not trying to be philosophical or stupid about it. That's what I believe my walk is supposed to be like. Am I good at it all the time? No, but that's my intent. I think it's all my intent and my continued practices. And my sponsor will tell you, when we first met, I weren't practicing none of this crap. I was supposed to receive it divinely That don't work. You know, it don't happen. You know, and as I walk through my day, I don't get upset as much. I don't get upset as long. And I think it's my obligation to walk in this earth and maybe repair a couple of little potholes that I created over my lifetime by creating a new path. It's a lot smoother and a lot more less aggressive. And, you know, that's kind of what I do. I'm responsible for my actions. And I am also responsible for my stupid ass thoughts when they divert me from the where I'm supposed to be too, you know. So it's got to become a way of life. I have to, I don't know where it said this someplace, I heard it and whatever, but I have to wear my spiritual life and God as I understand him as a loose garment. I have to become what I talk about. And not that I have yet. I'm not saying that. I have to work and diligently live that life. So I maybe someday can emulate that a little bit better each day. I'm better than I used to be, but not where I want to be. I hope that never changes, that statement.
Really? You know,
so did I answer that question? You got a part.
Thank you very much. I'm looking at Jim, so I'm going to turn it over to Jim. I'm sure he's got a couple of questions. Thanks.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, Jim.
I got a question. One of the questions that people ask me, and I don't know, we probably talked about this before, is when you're going through life in sobriety and you're long-term sobriety and things go good for a long period of time, and you don't have many problems, and you're going to meetings, and you're working, you know, you're working the steps, you're doing whatever you're supposed to be doing, and then all of a sudden you get broadsided by something that can really, it could be something very small, like a broken dish, or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things that, you know, it's hard to describe to somebody because, you know, they look at you and say, oh, look at how good they're doing, not realizing that, you know, everybody goes through things.
Yep.
No matter if you're 30 years sober or one day sober. And you have, because of working the steps and you have experience in dealing with these things now, a quicker way to get better,
yep,
or to take care of the situation. So my question is, have you been blindsided?
Well, you know the answer to that, and thank you for the question, because I neglected to talk about it for whatever reason, but thank you. Here, about 5 years ago-ish, I got injured at work. 30 years sober-ish. It was a very emotional time for me, I operated on 3 times and all the bullshit, and sent me to a workman's comp doctor down in Pittsburgh. He wanted to put me back to work. Let me tell you, it was an emotional roller coaster. You and I talked about this a lot, Jim. And but I looking back on that, emotionally and spiritually, it was probably one of the best tests I was ever through. I had to dig deep. I had to dig deep, and God was there for me. And that's the whole key to this whole fellowship and whole program. It's a spiritually based program. It's not, well, okay, I quit drinking and then I got my spiritual program. It's a spiritual program and a discussion. When I apply that to my whole life gets better. Not that I'm perfect, but I was able to get through that with the help of you and other people, Jim. But most of all, it made me dig deeper in my relationship with my higher power. That's what this is all about. And then sharing that experience with other people in my walk each day. I should have talked about that earlier, but thanks for bringing that out, Jim. You went through that with me. And what beauty of that is part of the program Jim was able to share from me from his experience on that stuff that he'd gone through 20 years-ish before that. So that's what this is about, sharing our experience, strength, and hope. You know, I am so grateful for the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and guys like you, Jim, who put it out there and walk what you talk. Now, I'm going to say this, it is tongue-in-cheek. It does not mean that Jim is a perfect human being. And that's been another blessing, to watch a man walk like a human being and live the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and walk through shit himself with his head up with dignity and live a good life. That's what we're all supposed to do. And I try to do that today, as Jim has made an example of that and other people in these rooms. That's not to stick you up there, Jim, on a pedestal. But you are one of the examples that I look to, and that we all need to look to other people in the program, how this is done. I had no examples of how this was supposed to be worked, or I wasn't ready to receive it years ago. It doesn't really matter. When I was ready, Jim showed up, and I was able to look at Jim and other people in these rooms. How to get through shit like that? Because guess what? It's going to happen again. I ain't getting out of this life with no tragedies, no stubbing of my toe, no hits on the head, no deaths in my family. I'm not going to get through this life unscathed. So what the program has given me is giving me a peace that no matter what, things are going to be okay. Gonna be okay.
Because second part.
Go ahead.
The second
go ahead.
Part of that question, one of the things I noticed with most of the guys that we hang around with is it's always, we pick on each other a lot when we hang around, and we do, we 12 step together, we do things together. How important is that in your sobriety as far as, like for me, my example, when my daughter was born, I ran to AA and all my friends, and I had to tell them, you know, when you do that today, I think the difference between the old sobriety and the new sobriety is the new sobriety, you're telling people what's going on in your life, and whereas before you kept stuff to yourself, right, and didn't share with anybody else. So how important is it that you know, you have people over for dinner you never used to do that. You go on retreats you never did that. You're more in the fellowship part of this thing. And how important is that in learning more about your higher power?
Well, that's how this works. This works through other people. And I believe that first came a relationship with you as a sponsor, which in turn opened it up to other relationships with other people before I was really willing to dig at the steps and work at the steps. The fellowship is as important as the steps and all that stuff. But for me, this fellowship had to come first because of the experience, strength, and hope. And without those relationships and friendships that I've grown over the years, because I've engaged in those relationships, I've had hands extended to me since I walked through the doors, and I smacked them away for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. I tried to be, you know, you got to have a friend, you got to be a friend. And I try to be a friend today. And that feels good. You know, I wouldn't be able to walk this road of recovery alone. I tried it for a long time and I was dying. I was all but dead. I was one pull of the trigger away from death. I need people in my life to show me how to live. And that's not just people who have more time than I, like you, Jim. There's people that walk through the doors and are like, oh my God, they got that? I didn't get that till I was 20 years sober. That's amazing. That's what this is all about, is sharing our lives with each other. Because, you know, guess what? Outside of Alcoholics Anonymous, nobody else gets us. Nobody else gets us out on the street. Nobody else gets us in church, in my opinion, for me. The only place I was ever welcomed fully and ever understood fully was in Alcoholics Anonymous. And by building relationships, you know, I don't know what I'd do without you guys. You pick on me too much. So you know how I realize how sensitive I am, Jim? I'm a pretty sensitive guy. Yeah. Thank you, Jim, for everything.
Anyone else?
I'll say one thing. Jim knows how to pull some crap out of me. Of course, he knows where it's buried.
It's the only way we could get you to get a thicker hide.
Yeah, but I know those things. Good on me.
Anyone else? Okay. Last call? If not, then we can go ahead and conclude tonight. Of course, next week we want to make sure that we're back for step 12 with Ed.